I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the drumstick voice of your local announcer, Tom Fitzmaurice. And it's time for the food show. Every afternoon, we sit down here in our studio and we gaze out over the Mississippi River and see ships coming in and leaving and having lunch and then maybe having another lunch and then thinking about how good that first one was and why don't we have that more often. And anyway, what we do over here on this program is we talk about the food scene in our town. I think, and I put it on all of my books and everything else that I do, this phrase, the best food in America. I think we are. I think the food we eat here in New Orleans is the best food eaten anywhere in this country. What do you think, Carl?
I think it's a wonderful piece of food that we serve here. All compared to other states,
yeah.
It's kind of rushed. But the food that we do here, yeah, I mean, we put time and effort into the food that we serve.
Yeah. You have been over at the Roosevelt Hotel for a long time under two different names, if I remember right.
Correct. The Roosevelt and the Fairmont. Fairmont Hotel.
Yeah. Both of those were first-class operations.
Surely was. Very much so.
But, you know, I got to be pretty good friends with a lot of the people who worked over there, especially the chefs I know. Let's see. We have a couple of them up here on this poster. Here there's what's his name? Jean-Luc Albin. I bet you.
I've heard of him. Never worked with him.
Oh,
before.
You never worked with him?
No, those chefs up there basically worked in restaurants.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Roosevelt is a strictly hotel, so
yeah,
they're familiar. Seen them television.
Yeah,
haven't worked with one of them. But neither one of them.
But. Yeah. What is your position with the restaurant anyway?
I work in the banquet kitchen.
Ah, well, that takes up a lot of time.
It takes up a lot of time and a lot of effort. It based upon maybe two or three people to maybe 600 to 700 people.
No kidding.
Right.
700 people? You've done a banquet for 700 people at one
Even
time?
Even more, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's a full staff the kitchen. It's just not one person.
Yeah, oh, I hope not.
No.
Yeah. They'd never
but
finish.
But we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Plate ups with steaks and chicken and anything else. But basically it starts from two to three people to maybe 800 some people.
Yeah.
Just the other day we had a banquet for 800 people.
Did you? Where
and guess
was
what they had?
Fried chicken?
Fried chicken. Well, you saw it today.
I just took a shot at it.
That's right.
We have on our counter here a large pan of your fried chicken, which right before we went on the air, I was able to chomp down a couple of them. And homemade biscuits too, huh?
Correct.
The whole thing.
No, well, it's not the whole thing because I didn't bring the red beans today. We serve red beans too. On Monday.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't?
Right. I mean, red beans and fried chicken go together.
They certainly do.
Very much so.
I remember, the first time I ever ran into that, it was in just like a little neighborhood restaurant a long time ago, and they served up the fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
It was a half a chicken, and it came out with a pretty good pile of red beans. And I said, I've loved both of these things my whole life, but I never heard of putting the two together, and I haven't stopped eating it since.
They go together.
They really do go together.
Red beans and rice and fried chicken, yes, indeed.
Yeah, yeah. Have been working in what is the place where most of your food turns up? I know you say you've got some big banquet rooms, but do you ever get into the restaurant side at all?
No, I don't like working in restaurants. It's too, and that drives me crazy. See, when you work in banquets, it's
Well, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you can focus on what you're doing, and you can work at a metal pace. But when you're working in the restaurants, it's like this. It's
yeah. Well, to tell you the truth, I don't know how anybody in the restaurant business can ever keep his sanity longer than a couple of weeks.
I agree with you 100%.
There is nothing about that business that is easy.
I love the co-workers that I work with. I praise them all the time. Those who work in for the restaurant part, it's not me.
Yeah. Well, you're a pretty young man. You've been at this, so it's hard for me to believe that you've been there
the story of 40 years.
40 years? You don't look 40.
Thank you very much, but listen, it's been four-faced. I think she brought that up. I haven't been cooking for 40. It seems like maybe about 35.
That's
close enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I started working at the Roosevelt I was a pot washer, and I used to help the cooks do what they did when they got busy because they were short-staffed back then. So I decided, I asked the chef to turn me into a cook because I've always done the work of a cook already, so therefore, that was history right there.
A lot of stories have been told that are basically that same story you just told.
Come out to be cooks, correct.
That's right. That's what you got to start somewhere, and a lot of these guys they start off, washing dishes and
pots
and everything.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah, I remember Chef Michael over at Brennan's. That was certainly his story,
and he
wound up being a chef for 50 years.
That's right.
And and lots of other guys who have done that over the years, and that's where would we be without them?
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
All right. What's your secret recipe? Tell me the whole thing. You ought to see the look on Carl's face right now.
You might want to say something. Well, I mean, it's a certain thing that I can't display on the radio, but I can show you, in a demo kitchen. But the basic thing is to find good chicken, is flour and clean deep fryer.
Yeah,
and you got to have clean oil.
That is a must. You see that a lot in frying like catfish and stuff too. If it's starting to get brown and dark,
it's time to move on.
And I've been told that many, many times by a lot of chefs, is that this is just something you got to do. Well, I'm glad that's being done the right way.
It is. It's a problem. In fact, when I got word to fry you all some chicken, I changed the grease before I come here.
Did you?
Well, yes, I did. Because it's a necessary thing to do. Why are you smiling? Say something.
The something who is being asked to say something is Rona Huang. Huang?
Yeah. Huang. Hi, okay. Everyone.
She is. You're the PR lady with the hotel.
I do. Yeah, we worked with Chef Carl really closely to make every single Monday in the Fountain Lounge at the Roosevelt to be dedicated to his chicken.
Oh, I'm glad you said that because my next thing I was going to ask is exactly what is it that you're doing over there that's something kind of new lately, right?
Yeah. So it is the 125th birthday of the Roosevelt of the property. So this year,
125. Yeah. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this year we really wanted to celebrate the locals. We get visitors all the time, but we made the whole week. Mondays are Carl's Fried Chicken Mondays. Tuesday to Thursday is a happy hour for locals and visitors, 5 to 7. You rarely get a happy hour that lasts till 7 in the city, so we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah. You just said something that triggered a thought in my mind, but then it flew away. I mean, I hate when that happens. This is, I know you've changed the menu pretty much. They've been talking about it for about the last year or so. I mean, the men who, I'm assuming they're men. I have no idea. but some of the changes of the menu and that sort of thing have been paying attention to, have been coming out.
Yeah, so this is the start of it. You'll see us roll out a new lunch menu, a new dinner menu in the coming months.
Yeah. With the property we're talking about is if you're coming in from the Barone Street side of the hotel, of the Roosevelt, everybody knows where the hotel itself is. You come in from that, Dumaine,
Barone. Barone?
Barone Street, yeah.
Yep.
When you come in, you go up some of those little short steps that they have there, and then there is what it has been called the Sazerac Room, of or variations on that. Then they stopped calling it that, and they made it the Fountain again, and then it became the Sazerac again. We're going back a bunch of years, I'll warn you.
Yeah,
okay.
And many years before you were born.
I've been around to watch it, and so I've seen this. But I started hearing rumors to the effect that they were really going to do something for at the dinner hour, because you say that, you know, you're doing lunch in there already, right?
Yes, yeah. We are.
What are we going to call it anyway? The Sazerac or the
It's going to remain the Fountain Lounge.
The Fountain Lounge.
Yeah,
okay.
And then right next to the Fountain Lounge is the Sazerac Bar.
Yeah, yeah, and there's the bar, but for a long time there was the restaurant called that same thing.
Oh, really?
Right there, yeah, yeah. I go back a little too far for my own good. I mean, I remember all of these times. And Tommy Andrade, have you met him yet?
I have not.
Do you know about him?
No. Can you tell me the story?
Tommy Andrade was. I'm sure you know about Tommy Andrade.
No,
you don't. He was. He pretty much managed the what is now the Fountain Lounge for years and years, and he. He sold his restaurant not too long ago, about a year ago, but he's still working there. That's the strange thing. He sold the restaurant, but he still works there. But he was the classiest, most involved chef. He wasn't a chef, a waiter and maitre d' I've ever seen, the front of the house guy. And he was just terrific, but he's been gone a while. So pardon me for bringing it up.
No, not at all.
I can't think of going to that building without thinking about him, because he was just such a colossal guy up front. But we were there last week. Some friends of ours, my wife and I, and they had a guy playing music in the bar. Well, I guess it was in the restaurant actually, because we ate. We ate a pretty full meal.
It is a whole restaurant, yeah.
And the singer was really, we thought, very good.
Yeah, and Tony Deal. Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah,
Tony.
That's his name. And I heard you sing, too.
Oh, well, I any chance I get. But, you know, it's sometimes people say, would you please maybe change your mind about whether you're doing it?
Oh, no, we thought it was great.
The Grill. Oh. Tony, what's his last name?
Antonio Deal. So D-I-E-L.
D-I-E-L. Okay. Anyway, what they put out on the stage there was really great. We stayed for a long time, had a round of cocktails. There was a guy over by the cocktail bar who was basically making up things for you to try, which I thought was an interesting way to spend an hour.
We create this DIY cocktails every from Tuesday to Thursday, and partner with Tito's Vodka.
Yeah.
So you can go to the station, pick all the fruits that you want. So some fruits, berries, cucumbers, oranges, and then you also pick an herb. So you kind of, you're making your own drink with the help of the bartender.
Yeah.
So you pick your fruits and herbs, and you give it to the bartender, and they make it for you. So it's a vodka-based drink, and then topped with a Topo Chico Mexican soda water.
Now, I got the impression that this, and how could it be? This doesn't seem like something that would go on for a long time. It's just like a one-shot, or is it?
No.
Are you
going to
do it?
Yeah.
Oh, no
it's
kidding.
It's ongoing.
No kidding. Well, that's great news.
Yeah, $5 for a vodka soda. And
then you can't beat that.
On the menu is also $3 tartines.
Mm.
Yeah, so some appetizers for the table.
We were picking away at the appetizers. We did some serious damage to it while we were there. But then again, there was a full menu, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got some seared scallops that were very good. You know, it was my wife and a couple of friends of ours. We were there. We just had a great, great time.
Yeah, it's a good time. You know, you can request songs to the singer. You can go up there and sing.
Yeah, he and I did a duet.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but we did it.
We enjoyed it.
I don't try to convince anybody that I know how to sing. Although, you know, if you give me half a chance, I'm... hello there, you're listening to The Food Show on 105.3 FM HD2. The HD2 means that we are high definition. But what's your definition of high? Or what's your definition for definition when you come to think about it? But we don't. We try not to stick to the such thoughts for very long. Very long, anyway. We are much happier to be here with Carl Cushenberry. Did I say it right?
Correct. Yes, you did.
Carl Cushenberry. He has worked over at the Roosevelt Hotel. Hardly need to tell you where that is. For 35 years, you said.
Somewhere around there, 35 years.
Yeah. All right, we got to get down to the nitty gritty here.
Okay, let's go.
All right, you are known for your catfish.
Fried chicken.
I'm sorry. What I said catfish, didn't I? Pardon me. You are known for your fried chicken. You have to fry that too. I guess that's
yes.
It got mixed up in my brain.
Lip licking fried chicken.
Lip licking fried chicken. That what a great line. I love it. I'm gonna write that down.
Down and remember that.
Wow. You know that's one you got to keep. You have to have T-shirts made that say
from
that.
On the top of my head. Yeah. Lip licking. Write it down. I don't
like
see
that.
You doing nothing.
Yeah.
I can remember that one.
Lip licking fried chicken. That's right.
Yeah. All right. So you're featuring this. You told me on Monday, right?
Correct, sir.
Monday,
yes.
And you can come in. How much does this cost? It sounded like a pretty good deal.
Yeah, so it's $18.93 per person.
$18.93.
Yeah. So
what's
I know
that
it's
three
very
for?
Particular.
What's that about?
The 1893 is the year the Roosevelt opened up.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Correct.
Ah, well, that explains it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In
so
a nutshell.
Person, yeah, each person gets two pieces of Carl's fried chicken.
Yeah.
And then three sides.
Oh, okay. You what time
Even
does it
better.
Start?
Dinner time.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Right
and
I had
the impression that this was a lunch thing.
No,
no?
It's no lunch.
It's okay.
It goes to 9, so it starts at 5 to 9.
5 o'clock.
Yes.
And you're there the whole time.
I'm outside with the guests. I'm laughing it up, telling them about the chicken until they start to ask about the ingredients. You know, can't do that.
You won't give us any hint of what it is that's making it. Other than that, there's one thing I could pick up without being all that smart. And
if
that
you
is,
pick it out, I'm gonna tell you you're right or wrong. How about that? Let's do that now.
All right, here we go.
Go ahead.
It's spicy.
You're right.
I'm so glad I passed the test.
Yes, you did.
That's good. Well, I wouldn't hazard a guess as to what is making it spicy, but whatever it is, there's a pretty good bit of it.
Thank you very much, sir.
And that's my kind of thing. Mm-hmm, that's what I'm looking for. I mean, we don't live here so we can eat shoe bags or
right, correct,
know, something.
Right, correct, correct, correct. Well, you see, this flavor that we have, it's a certain thing. We get this. We grow it on the roof. I'm just playing.
Yeah, you just never. Are you like this all the time?
Most of the
people
time,
must
yeah.
love you.
They do. Oh, yeah, my employees, yeah. They love. Oh, man, listen, I can't walk through. I mean, they love me. They love me, and the majority of the time, it's from the fried chicken.
Yeah.
But they get to sample it. They get to eat it. They get to. I mean, they just love me. I love them. I love them. I love them madly, and I want them to continue wanting the chicken that I'm able to produce for them. And when I cook for the employees, they smell it from the first floor all the way down to the basement. It's an amazing thing. And if you ever had chicken that comes out the refrigerator at nighttime, you know, like when you go in the bathroom, my.
Yeah, well, you have brought up a question that I have taken on the air and off the air many times over the years, and that is, if you're frying chicken at home and you're doing it from scratch, you're doing your own, should you let it come to room temperature before you fry it, or should it be cold going in?
Well, chicken is at the hotel, by rule, you have to take it out of the refrigerator. It can't be sitting out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Therefore, it comes straight out of the refrigerator and begin to fry. But if you're at home, there's no rule to follow. So, you fry it. You take it out of the refrigerator, let it
set. So, if you were doing it for yourself, and you can obviously do whatever you feel like doing if you're doing it for yourself, you say it's okay to just have it maybe not ice cold, but chilled out of the refrigerator as opposed to just being at room temperature. And I've known quite a few chefs that are on both one side or another, and they're very strong in that.
Well, I'll give you another. For instance, to look at, let's say if even at the hotel, it boils down to the individual, how fast they can do it. See, because when I was about to come over here, I was suggested to fry some chicken for you all.
Yeah.
So I cleaned the deep fryer. I had chicken prepped already, so therefore it didn't take that more than a half an hour. But if you can take it out the refrigerator and do it in a certain degree of time before any bacteria started growing, it's fine. If not, leave it in the refrigerator until it's time to
fry. Now, I've always said that that's the way to do it, not that I'm all that smart, but it's always been my pick. And I have enough friends among chefs to know that some of them will believe this and some of them will believe that, and they don't agree on this subject at all.
Right.
I mean, I've seen, there was even one written by the same guy, wrote two cookbooks, and in one of them he says you do it at room temperature, and the other book says that you do it at when it's warm a little bit.
Does he change his mind?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's a kind of a strange deal. But anyway, so the fried chicken, it's just sitting there, folks. We have to get this out to them.
Oh, I wish y'all could smell it.
Well,
I wish y'all could taste it.
You know, we can just tell everybody, here's how we do it. Just say, okay, just don't take a big, strong dip. Just let a little of it just go in your nose, and then you've got here comes the fried chicken.
There it is.
Yeah, yeah. What's your favorite cut or piece of chicken? What do we call that? We don't call it a cut. We call it
a piece. More.
A piece. Okay.
I like thighs.
You like thighs?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Because they're more meaty and juicier.
Juicier.
White meat is a little bit more drier.
Mm-hmm.
And some people like wings because they're little and dainty. What about you, man?
I would have to agree. I love chicken.
Yeah.
Who
doesn't?
I've never seen you eating it.
What? I ate it on Monday.
I haven't seen you eating it. I haven't
I'm going to eat some right now.
All right, let me see.
You ready?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Let me take a thigh.
Now, you have
this is a thigh.
Oh, you got a thigh. Yeah, there you go.
That's not a thigh. Yes, it is.
No.
It
depends on what angle you turn it to.
Yeah, because...
Yeah. We're trying to decide, ladies and gentlemen, in case you're just joining us, we're trying to figure out which is a thigh and which is a breast of chicken. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, and it's fun to be here with you talking about food and restaurants and stuff. We have a guy here who knows all about fried chicken. I mean, I'm just sitting here watching him, and I clearly can tell that wait a minute. We're getting requests from people who are interested in having, look at this, we're filling our studio. We're filling our studio with people who have who heard through the grapevine, no doubt, that there was some fried chicken being put out in the Food Show studios. And not only that, but you not only have the chicken and the biscuits and all of that, but also with you to add even more fun to it is Carl Cushenberry, who is quite a character.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.
And he's and he does the fried chicken, among other things, over at the Roosevelt Hotel, which is where you find it. We have
at the wonderful Roosevelt Hotel.
The wonderful, just not the plain old, but the wonderful Roosevelt Hotel.
I can do a million things with chicken.
You can't. Now, there's another one we need to write down. I can do a million things with chicken.
Sure, I could.
I'll bet you can. I have no doubt.
Look at here.
Not for a second I doubt that.
You mentioned earlier waffles. Oh, man.
You like waffles?
I like them, but I love chicken. I can make a mean chicken and waffle.
Mm.
And you're so welcome.
Thank you, ladies.
Ma'am, you
enjoy.
Back?
We will return with more of the Food Show in a moment after first. Please this. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. It's fun to be here every day talking about the food scene around town. But every now and then, we get really lucky, and some people who come from the many far-flung sites for cooking and for eating, they all converge on our studios, and this is one of those days. We have Carl Cushenberry here. He brought in a large pile of fried chicken, which, despite the fact that it's been sitting here on our desk for about the last 40 minutes, it is still holding forth with people who are coming into our studios and walking off with a piece or two. And also, you've got the homemade biscuits. You make the biscuits yourself?
Sure, they make them biscuits in the bakery at the beautiful Roosevelt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Do you get involved in that at all?
No, sir. No.
Because I'm a biscuit kind of guy. I feel really strongly about buttermilk biscuits.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, they're so good.
They are good.
Yeah.
Well, you eat a biscuit. You don't like biscuits?
I love biscuits. When I tried your biscuit, it had a honey glaze on it.
Yeah. See,
yeah.
They didn't have time to honey glaze those. Those are just
Is that normally what you do? Honey glaze?
Yeah, honey glaze biscuits on Monday.
Yeah, it's really good.
It is. I'm not a chicken lover. I mean, a biscuit lover, but I ate a few of them that day there because they had the honey glaze on them.
Yeah, then the third side is coleslaw. So if you're a coleslaw fan.
Well, that coleslaw and fried chicken goes together
like red beans and rice.
Exactly. I couldn't have put it better myself.
Like red beans and rice.
Yeah.
But what else I do is for fried chicken, when our families come down with the restaurant and they...
Wait a minute. Something bumped in. That wasn't nearly as bad as it sounded. there's a little switch here, and I bumped it, and that's what did that.
Okay.
You'll live. It won't hurt you. I every now and then that happens. I think it's because this is sitting here in a bad spot. But I'm lucky I can still talk to you now, you know, because of that. But we don't worry about that too much. You know, early when my kids were little, especially my daughter. I got him interested in baking, and it got down to where my daughter and I, we would make a batch of buttermilk biscuits every Saturday. It is a good thing, and we made a bunch of them, and she got to the point where she got real good at it, and she started doing wedding cakes and stuff. She's still a good baker, and but she did biscuits as well as I've ever had them before. They're not hard to make. It's only really three ingredients. Easy enough.
Right.
Yeah, I love them. But I'm glad to see you included that with the biscuits here.
I did. It wouldn't be a full meal without biscuits.
I agree.
But what I was saying is when the family come down with their children, because the children don't like the spicy chicken.
You don't think so?
Well,
some of them do. My daughter likes them.
How old is your daughter now?
Well, she's in her 20s now.
Okay, I'm speaking about maybe 5 or 7 years old kids.
Oh, that's different.
We do chicken tenders on the side for the kids and French fries. So they won't have to taste the pepper. I'll wait till they get older
it'll come one
this beautiful fried chicken that we have
here. It'll come one of these days.
One of these days, yes, indeed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. There was this party you guys did about a week or two ago with the chicken. Is that ever going to repeat itself, or do we just have to show up on well, it's Monday night you do it, the chicken and the beans?
Yep, every single Monday.
Every Monday.
That media party was great. We invited everyone.
Well,
there's
one problem with it, and that is these media people. You know, speaking as a media person myself, I'm just kidding.
But it is. Fun.
Yeah. So is there a different theme every week? I'll tell you why. There's one of them I'm interested in because I'm writing an article, and it turns out for some reason that all around New Orleans, but also in other parts of the country too, restaurants will have a special on. Steak on Thursday. You'd be surprised
really?
How common it is. I could name you probably about a dozen places just in New Orleans, but I've bumped into a bunch of them also elsewhere around the country, and I keep thinking there must be something behind this, you know, that brings that to happen. I was wondering if you guys even did it, but it doesn't sound like it.
No.
You can't do everything.
No. We just going to focus on the chicken for right now.
Yep.
And once it starts blooming really, really, really good, we may focus on something other. But other for that than that, like I mentioned before, there's a million ways of doing chicken. You just don't have to be fried. I can do other things with chicken, but
What are some of those things? How do you like to cook chicken other than to fry it? You like broiling it? That's one of my favorites.
Well, you can broil chicken, you can steam chicken, you can fry chicken without the back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You can bake it.
Yep.
But a chicken have maybe what, 1, 2, 3, maybe about 5, 6, 8 pieces. You can be creative with it.
Yeah.
Like for this not to mean to jump ahead of myself, but for this, can I talk about the contest?
Oh, there's a contest coming?
Oh, the Fried Chicken Festival.
It figures that there is one because there's a festival for just about everything.
Yes, that's true.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Huh. But we don't know yet.
Do we know?
I think it's uh-huh. in September, I believe. So we'll definitely try to be out there.
You know, mm-hmm. if we be out there, we're going to win it.
Oh yeah, Carl's
sure.
confident.
Well, because I know like what I would like to preserve to the judges. It's a fried chicken.
Yeah.
Red beans and rice.
Yeah.
On a stick.
On a stick. That's something new.
It's fried chicken on a stick.
Boy, that must be tough. You just one. Do you put it on one at a time? I want to be around to see that.
No.
The chicken is on the stick.
The red beans and rice is inside the chicken.
Oh, inside the chicken. Ah.
And the chicken is on the stick.
Ah,
just like
tricky.
The corn dog.
Yeah.
Come on, work
with
me.
Yeah, like corn dogs. Wow, that's an interesting concept.
Right.
Yeah, well, you never know where that could go. Yeah.
To the moon. It could go to the moon. Uh-huh. It could. But this is the concept for just the judging, not to the participants of the contest. Yeah. This is just to be judging to win that award.
I gave up on doing those things. I used to judge a lot of eat-offs like that, but it's just... There's such a thing as too much food in your life, you know.
Right, and I read a certain thing about. I mean, but there's a certain thing that is just for the judging.
Yeah.
And that's the power I was looking for, just to judge as far as the different vendors that are going to be out there. This is to be judged by these people here.
Yeah, to show your creativity.
Right, and the creativity with the chicken, but other than that, the other parts of the chicken will be served to the guests.
And that's in September, you said?
September 22nd to the 23rd.
Well, we'll be on the lookout for it, and I wish you luck.
I wish to be in it.
Yeah. All right, before you go, why don't we talk about these other days when you have specials in the evening?
Yeah, sure.
Because I know you got a bunch of things coming up, and we were the beneficiaries last week when we came in there and we were eating the grilled scallops is what I had. We had a couple people having steaks. We had homemade barbecue. I'm messing everything up today. We had the cocktails and all the rest of it.
Oh, yeah, so the menu is delicious. So from Tuesday to Thursday, 5 to 7, we have happy hour going on. So the special is a DIY cocktails concept where...
The who?
The DIY cocktails concept.
Oh, DIY, do it yourself.
Yeah, do it yourself. Yeah. So you go to the station, you pick out all the fruits that you would want in your cocktail, as well as herbs if you wanted that. And then it's going to be crushed and then mixed with Tito's vodka.
Yeah.
Then topped off with the popular Topo Chico Mexican soda water. So
Topo Chico.
Soda water.
Soda. Oh, you have to use that. Well, I mean, I've never even heard of it before, but I would imagine it's pretty good if they've got it in your place.
Yeah, it's a pretty popular soda water that we use. So I think the fun thing about this is that you get to see what your friend's going to make, you know, try their drink. What kind of berries are they going to put in there? I think the last drink I made was strawberries, grapefruit, cucumber, and rosemary. So all kinds of concoctions you can make.
Yeah, I can imagine it's endless.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so many different things you can put into a cocktail. I'm looking at something that says $3 tartines. And these are little appetizers, kind of, right?
Yeah, they're not quite little.
But some of them, I mean, caviar is the first item on the list. Crawfish, goat cheese, avocados, caramelized onions, muffaletta? Where'd the muffaletta come from?
Yes.
Well, it's got to be a miniature muffaletta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's actually like a grilled cut French bread, and then these toppings go on top of it. Yeah, so all kinds of concoctions that you can try out if you're a fan of caviar, if you want to go more traditional New Orleans route with a crawfish.
Yeah, and it's only $3.
Yep, $3 each.
So what time does this start every...
It starts at 5.
5 o'clock?
7.
On what's the day?
Tuesdays through Thursdays.
So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
But the chicken is only on Monday.
Yeah. Well,
so
you know.
Something to do every single night of the week.
That's good. And live music.
Yeah, live music.
If you want to get up there and dance, I think I saw some people dancing. I'm not sure. I know I wouldn't be caught dead dancing because I would probably be caught dead.
Well, you'd be caught singing.
Well, if I could get away with it. So anyway, so the thing's going on, to make a long story short, over at the Roosevelt. One more thing, and this is kind of a drag kind of a subject to bring up, but where does one park?
So you can actually get your parking validated.
What?
Yep, valet parking.
No
it
kidding.
Validate.
And you know what? We were there last week. We were right outside the main entrance, and somehow we managed not to see that it was valet parking for free.
Yeah, so you just get your ticket.
Yeah.
And you go to the front desk at the Fountain Lounge, mm-hmm. and they'll validate it for you.
Wow.
For being our guest.
Oh,
yeah.
that's really good news.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, you'll be seeing more of us.
We're excited.
Yeah, yeah.
Very really much been, so.
Yeah, everyone come down.
Well, it certainly does sound like the hotel is not just sitting on its hands or anything. There's a lot of fun coming down.
We're trying to move on.
Yeah.
We're trying to do big and brighter things.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you got it probably, you know, pretty much figured out already.
I try to.
Good for you, yeah.
Thank
well,
you.
35 years Carl has been cooking at the Roosevelt, and happy to have you come in and do it again for you.
Thank you so very much.
Thanks for coming on the show. We'll
and
see you
so
again
welcome.
Someday.
One day.
And,
one day real soon.
Who knows? We might call you next week. And it depends on how bad my show gets. That's then they call in the substitutes.
Call me up, now I know where you are.
Yeah, that's about it. Hang on, don't go anywhere. Our program today is sponsored by Vienne. This is a little restaurant which, when you see it from the outside, you will say, what could possibly fit in a restaurant of that size? And what you need to do is just penetrate the building a little bit, and you will find that they have just a lovely dining room, a couple of them, actually. One of them is on the edge of a little courtyard. Their bar is on the second floor, and it stretches out, and there's always something going on there, oftentimes live music. And the food is that which you may remember if you ever went to the Flaming Torch uptown. It was pretty close to Jefferson Avenue, and they had a fire, and it went away. But the lady who owns the restaurant has been looking forward to coming back from not doing it for quite a while, and she is there, and it is time for you to go and check out this stuff. It is French-oriented. A lot of classic French dishes like Coquille Saint-Jacques. You know, that's one I never get tired of doing. They're doing their French onion soup. They have some nice bouillabaisse there, I think, is very good. Lamb and ricotta with green olives. Plenty more, and the prices are affordable, too. This is Vienne, and it's on 412 Girard Street, right off of Chapultepec, and they are open every day, except I think they close for lunch on Friday. Friday, yeah, I think that is today. Maybe not. All right. The first hour of our program is done with. And we will get into the second half, or the second, what do we call this, thirds or fourths or what? But then we'll have more of it, and we'll get into something else, I hope. And we'll think about and remember this fried chicken for many years to come. Maybe. Stay tuned. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.